Wisconsin.
A third week of a partial federal government shutdown winding down now, but it's the first payday where about 800,000 federal government workers are not getting a paycheck. Meanwhile, President Trump is to host a roundtable discussion on border security and his call for a wall at the White House later today. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. The new year is finally upon us, and to make 2019 a better year, it all starts with a good night's rest. And right now, MyPillow's best offer ever has been extended. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special for the lowest price MyPillow has ever offered for their four-pack, including free shipping. And their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Best price ever, free shipping, extended money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com. Click on the end of the year special to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for their lowest price ever. And be sure to use my promo code USA.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo continuing a visit to the Middle East, where he's reassuring allies about the Trump administration's recent announcement that U.S. troops are being withdrawn from Syria. That withdrawal has begun today. He spoke yesterday about the need for a political resolution in Syria.
We are very hopeful that we will get the bad actors in the region, the Russians and the Iranians, to come to the table, along with the regime and all the other stakeholders in there, to come to the table and have conversations about what a post-civil war political structure might look like in Syria.
Presidential lawyer Rudy Giuliani reportedly suggesting that the president's legal team should be allowed to, in his words, correct special counsel Robert Mueller's final report before Congress gets to see it. The Hill reports Giuliani made the remark in an interview last evening, quoted as saying, "Mueller's team is not God. They could be wrong." He spoke to Fox News, and this is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
The E. coli outbreak in romaine lettuce appears to be over.
That's the word from the CDC, which confirms 62 people in 16 states became sick because of the outbreak tied to lettuce grown in northern and central California. The illnesses began in early October, and 25 people were hospitalized. The CDC recalling the lettuce in December, saying there were only three new cases linked to the outbreak since then. So the outbreak is over, and any romaine on the shelves now should be safe to eat. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
One of the most popular resolutions in the new year is always losing weight. USA Radio's Tim Berg says one health expert claims it's not what you eat, but when you eat.
If you're looking to lose weight in 2019, one of the main things you need to do is work on keeping that metabolism constantly working and burning fat. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Dr. Michael Roisin. He's author of a new book titled What to Eat When, and one of the things we discuss is how the premise of his book is not about what you eat, it's when you eat it.
It is both when we eat and what we eat. One of the keys we found was that your metabolic rate changes as the day goes on. You have a circadian rhythm to it, much like you do with sleep. And it is caused by the same type of things, changes in hormones. And what happens is a calorie in the morning is less metabolically active than a calorie in the evening.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutter & Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about Vice, Destroyer, On the Basis of Sex, Stan and Ollie, and Holmes and Watson. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, and the home cinema roundup featuring Starman, a new anniversary edition out on Blu-ray. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can also reach me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Even though movies are out there in the theaters, there's really nothing happening in entertainment right now. They've taken a break. I mean, the entertainment industry is more shut off now than the government is at this point. So we're in that little lull period where everybody's on vacation, nobody's doing anything. So I'm going to take that time to announce my top three movies of the year. I only do three because, you know, it's a radio show. I don't want to do 10. That would be kind of overkill. My number three movie of the year.
An outbreak of dog flu rips through the city of Megasaki. Trash Island becomes an exiled colony.
Nobody's giving up around here, and don't you forget it, ever. We're a pack of scary, indestructible alpha dogs.
Atari Kobayashi, you heroically hijacked a junior turboprop XJ-750 and flew it to the island because of your dog. Darn it. I've got a crush on you.
Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs. This is one that a lot of people have forgotten. I think a lot of it is because it came out like in March or April, depending. I think it was a limited release. Now, there have been Wes Anderson movies that have done better over the course of the year, like the Grand Budapest Hotel, I think that was like a springtime movie. That ended up winning a whole bunch of Best Picture awards. And this one didn't get as much love. I think that there was, it was a softer movie, but I love Wes Anderson stuff. And I thought it was culturally interesting because he took certain elements of Japanese culture. And in this movie, it's a stop-motion animation film, sort of like what he did with Fantastic Mr. Fox. But it's something a little bit different. I think there was some American audience had trouble digesting it. But I have to say, it's still a brilliant piece of artistry and something unlike anything you've actually seen in the theaters this year or kind of any other year. So Isle of Dogs is a forgotten one, but it is my number three movie of the year. The next one I want to put on my list for number two movie of the year, and that is another piece of animation.
My name is Miles Morales. Brooklyn! I'm the one and only Spider-Man. At least that's what I thought.
You ever hear of the Super Collider?
You're gonna love this.
Dimension opening now.
You're like me.
That's impossible.
We need to get back to our universes soon.
Brooklyn is gonna collapse. My family lives in Brooklyn.
This was never your city. It's mine.
If I don't destroy the Collider, none of us will have a home to go home to.
That's right. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Every year, there seems to be a movie that comes up that I don't see until like the last couple weeks of the year, and then I see it, and I absolutely love it. This one rocketed to the top of my list in a year that superhero movies have really cleaned up at the box office. I mean, if you look at like the top grossing movies of 2018, you've got Avengers, Infinity War, and Black Panther. They trade number one spots, whether you're talking about domestic or international gross. But Black Panther's number one domestically, but also Infinity War, Incredibles 2, Deadpool 2. I mean, the top five, with the exception of Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, all the rest are superhero movies, and there's a whole bunch in there, and I wouldn't be surprised if Aquaman starts squirting into the top 10 by the time all those numbers are run. But Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is so unique and so different, and it so adapts the look and the culture and the feel of a comic book. It is such a brilliantly done movie, and it's literally the best Spider-Man movie I've seen in a decade, at least. I mean, I love Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I also love this very authentic feeling multi-universe element of Spider-Man, and that's why I love that one so much. But that's not my number one. My number one movie of this year is another one that came out kind of early, and it's Spike Lee's latest.
There's never been a black cop in this city. We think you might be the man to open things up around here.
Who am I speaking with?
This is David Duke,
Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. That David Duke?
The KKK is planning an attack.
How do you propose to make this investigation?
We'll establish contact over the phone. We'll need a white officer to play me when they meet face to face. So there becomes a combined
Ron Stallworth.
Can you do that?
With the right white man, we can do anything.
Black Klansman. Now, I'm not a big fan of Spike Lee. I blow hot and cold with his stuff. I think some of his movies are fantastic. I think Malcolm X was an epic movie. It has some problem parts to it, but it's a really good movie. I'm not as much sold on Do the Right Thing, which I know everybody loved, but you know, I think his stuff goes hot and cold. I mean, he's done some real crap like that The Sweet Blood of Jesus, that crowdfunded piece he did. But Black Klansman is so well done. It is so unbelievable in terms of the setup of the story. Now, there's other contrived stuff that goes on there, but it's very relevant to stuff that's happening today in terms of race relations and what seems to be a little bit of a surge of white supremacy in this country. It shows some very relevant things in this movie. So Black Klansman, that's my number one pick of the movies for 2018. Now, a couple honorable mentions. I do want to give a little bit of love to a couple movies that nobody seems to mention in their list. Suspiria, I thought, was brilliantly done and a very worthy remake. Unsane, Steven Soderbergh's film about a woman stuck in an insane asylum, kind of against her will. That's creepy as all get out. And then Paddington 2, because that came out almost an entire year ago. And then, of course, a little bit of nod to best performances. I thought Emily Blunt was fantastic in Mary Poppins Returns, really encapsulated Julie Andrews. Tilda Swinton was amazing in Suspiria because she plays multiple roles, but you wouldn't even recognize her in some of them. And then finally, Christian Bale in Vice. We'll be talking about that movie a little bit later in the show, but there's a little bit of a spoiler. He's amazing in terms of his chameleon performance. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first movie I want to hit in the trailers is The Kid That Would Be King, and it opens just in a couple weeks on January 25th.
Parents, these doors you have found.
There's something written on the guard. Put it into Google Translate.
It means Sword of Arthur. What if you're the only person who could have pulled that sword out? What if it's Excalibur?
Ah, finally. Follow me.
I am Merlin.
In 4 days, the dark sorcerer Morgana will take over the world.
Awaken my worries.
How am I supposed to stop her? That's ridiculous.
After Harry Potter made it big in the movies, there were all these films that they tried to redo. And I talked about that one when The Mortal Engines came out a couple weeks ago. This one feels like it would have been one of those, but it's been far enough from the Harry Potter movies that it doesn't seem to be drawing from that. It just seems to be telling this cool little story about a King Arthur legend. And I actually think that looks kind of cool. I'm looking forward to this one. This one actually really has captured my attention because, I mean, it's going to be for kids, but that's okay. The next one I want to hit really quickly is Us, which is Jordan Peele's follow-up to Get Out, opens on March 15th.
What are you people?
It's us.
They look exactly like us.
They think like us.
They know where we are.
We need to move and keep moving.
They won't stop until they kill us. And we kill them.
One of the biggest worries that I think a lot of people have with Jordan Peele is that his follow-up to Get Out isn't going to be as good. I have to say that Us looks creepy as all get out. It does look like it encapsulates elements of horror, and I don't know if it's going to be doing the sort of like the deconstruction of race relations in America as much as like Get Out did, but this certainly looks like an intriguing movie with plenty of layers. So this is another one I'll definitely be looking forward to come March. That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about On the Basis of Sex and Holmes and Watson.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Mike Hewitt here. Some of our friends on the left remain personally invested in resistance and the political destruction of the Trump presidency. That's okay, except for the presidency doesn't belong to one person. It belongs to all of us, and it's our children that'll pay the price. For instance, many of Trump's border policies are exactly like Democratic elected leadership advocated for until recently. Shouldn't that offer the possibility of finding agreement? Things like spendable revenue to the federal government, highest ever. Some might say it's not punitive enough, but I'd ask, wasn't the goal more to help more people? Resistance is not reasonable. We can make 2019 anything we want it to be. It'd truly be amazing what we could accomplish if we don't care who gets credit. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's roll into the proper movie reviews. Now, I know a lot of these are not opening everywhere, and I'm on the radio all over the country, so it's very hard to pin down the release dates on some of these movies. Sometimes they don't even show them to me. The reason I have the privilege to see these movies early now, right as we're in that last week of the year, they don't do any screenings between Christmas and New Year's. They just, like I said, it all takes off at this point. Part of it is they send me, the studios send me screening discs for award consideration. And I've seen a bunch of these movies because of that, and so I can bank them early, and that's very helpful to me. But, of course, you may not be able to see these yet. These may not even open until sometime in January in your local markets, but I figure it's worth talking about. The first one is On the Basis of Sex. Felicity Jones stars as a young Ruth Bader Ginsburg as she argues one of her first major cases involving sexual discrimination and gender rights.
I want to represent clients in pursuit of justice.
So they're going to give you a corner office?
I wasn't what they were looking for. One said women are too emotional to be lawyers. Another told me a woman graduating top of her class must be a real ball buster. I worked hard. I did everything I was supposed to, and I excelled. If the law differentiates on the basis of sex, then how will women and men ever become equals? I don't read tax court cases.
Read this one.
They could topple the whole damn system of discrimination.
I do find movies that come out later in the year, there always seem to be one or two that feels like it's a, sort of like at least a spiritual connection to another movie that had come out earlier in the year. I mean, like this year, you had Beautiful Boy and Ben is Back. Both of those movies were about addiction in a child and having to deal with that. So those things felt like they had a lot of connective tissue. On the Basis of Sex feels really close to the movie Marshall that came out last year, which was a look at Thurgood Marshall, who, of course, was a Supreme Court justice. He was the first black Supreme Court justice, and he also had a history of civil rights defense, and that was his first, one of his first big cases. And this is sort of feels the same way, because even though Ruth Bader Ginsburg wasn't the first woman on the Supreme Court, she certainly is an iconic image. And it's the second Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie that's come out this year, because they had that RBG documentary that came out earlier this year from Magnolia. But this one stars Felicity Jones, who's way more attractive than Ruth Bader Ginsburg ever was. I mean, that's not a knock against Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She wasn't a bad-looking lady when she was younger. I mean, she's in her 80s now, so you should get the bun and the glasses. But, I mean, Felicity Jones is adorable, and RBG, she's always kind of had that sort of that New York edge to her, which, I mean, Felicity, I have a huge thing for Felicity Jones, if you haven't noticed. So nothing against Ginsburg. Much respect for your career and your position on the court. But, Felicity Jones, just there's a special piece of my heart for her. But going to the story, this doesn't tell the story of her as a judge or on the bench. This tells the story of when she's trying to really just kind of break into the field of law. And the obstacles she ran into, of course, in the late 60s and into the 70s. And what I found most interesting is I live in a world, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, but by the time I became an adult, it was pretty much the 90s. And a lot of had changed. I mean, by the 90s, for example, Sandra Day O'Connor was already on the court of the Supreme Court. So it wasn't an unheard of thing having women as lawyers and women in positions of judgeship. I served on a jury in 2005, and there was a female judge there. She ended up becoming, I believe, the Secretary of State of Ohio. But that seems a rather normal thing. But then I realized, yeah, back in the 60s and even the early 70s, there was a lot to overcome in terms of the sexual revolution. And I think the most interesting thing about this movie is it's well-performed and it's pretty well-directed. I mean, it tells a story about how she develops this case to really kind of blow up gender discrimination in America, at least from a legal perspective, from through the courts. And that was certainly a good thing. But what I found so fascinating about this is the historical context of stuff that I was alive during, even though I was a little kid pooping my pants and because I was just a toddler at the time. And don't worry, it was not last week that was happening. But you look at this movie and you say these were laws that were on the books that were really pretty horrifying gender discrimination laws. Stuff like you can't get a credit card without your husband's name, or you can't work overtime, or there are certain jobs you legally are not allowed to have. And that is something that seems so foreign to us now, but really just within the last 40, 50 years, that those are real laws on the books, and it kind of puts you back in the present. If you talk about like social change, and that's what I found so interesting about this movie. You know, 100 years ago, women couldn't vote in this country. And you say, yeah, 100 years is 100 years, but 100 years isn't really that long ago. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, 300, 400, 500, you know, many generations. I mean, 100 years ago, women couldn't vote. 150 years ago, slavery was just outlawed in this country. So, I mean, it shows how much things can change very fast. And I think that puts certain amounts of social change, especially contemporary social change, in perspective. Still, Felicity Jones is good in it. Armie Hammer plays her husband, and he's fine. I find him a boring actor. But overall, I mean, it's a fine movie. It does seem to go through the motions. It's not like a super compelling film, but I mean, I'll watch anything with Felicity Jones in it. Even though, I mean, it's not like she's in a bikini or anything. That would have been nice, though. Because I am a pig. I'm sorry. Anyways, I'm going to have to say, on the basis of sex, kind of rocked.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Holmes and Watson here. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly star as a bumbling pair of detectives in the Victorian era.
Sherlock Holmes. His methods are ingenious.
Right there.
He's a master of disguise.
What have you done with Sherlock?
Why, Watson?
I never left.
Oh, amazing.
And his mind is brilliant. Solve this case in 4 days or I will kill the Queen. Signed, Professor James Moriarty.
Come, Watson. We have a killer to catch.
I can't even bring myself to say that they're the Sherlock Holmes. Because, I mean, they make the story such an exercise in buffoonery. I don't even know how to conceptualize this. Like, my mother is a huge fan of Sherlock Holmes. And she gets enraged at, like, the Benedict Cumberbatch version of Sherlock Holmes because he's not quite the same as what she read when she read Arthur Conan Doyle's works. But this one is just, this is just silly. I mean, it's like Sherlock Holmes' smarter brother with Gene Wilder and Marty Feldman and Madeleine Kahn back in the 70s, which is a funny enough movie in its own right. This one, it's interesting. I did not get a chance to see it. They didn't screen it. I know several critics who actually went on Christmas Day to go see this because they're doing their jobs. I took the week off, but I wasn't going to go pay to see this one. Not when I had, stuff to do that involved sitting around and, not going to see movies. But this one has a notorious 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, at least the last time I checked. It may have, by the time you hear this, it may have had that one or two people who liked it throw out a review. But this movie is apparently total garbage. Everyone's hated it. It's like 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. A story came out this week that said that this film was originally, Sony tried to dump it onto Netflix. And even Netflix said, yeah, no way. We're going to take, you know, as many Adam Sandler movies as we possibly can, but not this little turd. So proceed with caution on this one. But I have to say, there's a part of me that now really, really wants to see it in a sort of morbid curiosity way. Because I wonder, can it be that bad? Apparently it is. It gets a preamp to suck. It didn't get screened.
It sucks.
That's it for the segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Vice and Destroyer.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Last night, our collective promise was fulfilled with Jamie's safe recovery.
There is joy across the state of Wisconsin at news that a 13-year-old girl who'd been missing since her parents were found murdered in mid-October has been found alive. And a 21-year-old man is now facing charges for Jamie Kloss's kidnapping as well as for the murders of her parents. The Barron County Sheriff saying that suspect, Jake Thomas Patterson, wasn't on their radar screen.
Jake Patterson had zero criminal history locally and zero criminal history in the state of Wisconsin.
A third week of a partial federal government shutdown winding down now, but it's the first payday where about 800,000 federal government workers are not getting a paycheck. Meanwhile, President Trump is to host a roundtable discussion on border security and his call for a wall at the White House later today. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the movie reviews with Vice. Christian Bale stars as Vice President Dick Cheney in this story of how he got into politics and how his presence in the White House changed the political landscape.
I want you to be my VP. I want you. You're my vice.
The vice presidency is a mostly symbolic job. However, if we came to a different understanding, I can handle the more mundane jobs. Overseeing bureaucracy, military, energy, and foreign policy.
I like that.
This is one that was definitely open wide on Christmas Day. So if you want to see this, you have had a couple days to do it. You can go check this out if you want to. The most important thing to mention about this film is Christian Bale's performance. Not just his performance, but also the makeup and the changes they put him through physically to look. I mean, he looks like Dick Cheney, and he sounds like Dick Cheney. He has the cadence of the way Dick Cheney talks. I don't care where your political affiliations lie. This is the performance to beat this year. Just as Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill last year in The Darkest Hour was the performance to beat, this is this year's performance to beat. Mark my words, Christian Bale is going to win Best Actor for this movie. And he should. It's well-deserved. He does a great job in it. He has the nuances of his responses, his tics, his the way he breathes, the way he moves his head, you know, just everything about it. It's such a nuanced performance and a chameleon performance, especially as Cheney gets older in the film. When he's a younger man in Wyoming, you can see Christian Bale in there because he's a younger dude. But then they kind of have to kick his hair off and, you know, put on the bald wig, and then they, you know, get him gain some pounds and put some glasses on him, and he looks less and less like Batman and more like the Dick Cheney that most people knew. Most people didn't know who the heck Dick Cheney was before he became Vice President of the United States under George W. Bush. I mean, yeah, he was involved in Washington for decades, and he did everything, you know, CIA and all that kind of stuff. But most people didn't know who he was just by, you wouldn't recognize him, and it wasn't until Dick Cheney became Vice President, and most people can recognize who's the Vice President. And same thing with Mike Pence. Nobody knows who Mike Pence was, unless you lived in Indiana. You probably didn't know who Mike Pence was before he became Trump's vice president, and he probably felt the same way about Joel. Joe Biden was maybe a little more involved, but even then, Joe Biden was just a guy who knocked around the political junkies did. Leslie Knope knew who these people were. Average people didn't know who these folks were. Let's put that aside. Now let's talk about the movie. This is done by Adam McKay. It's the people who did The Big Short. And The Big Short was a brilliant movie. And the reason The Big Short was so good is because it was able to take the mess of the financial crisis and break it down and deconstruct it so an average person can understand it. And that was important because, you know, gave the average person a little bit more accessibility of knowing what the heck happened and how the economy got to the point that it did for that whole collapse and all the problems that we had. This is a little bit different because he's trying to encapsulate Dick Cheney's career. And Dick Cheney's had a big career in politics. Again, I don't care what your affiliations are politically, you cannot deny the fact that Dick Cheney has worked in multiple areas of government at different levels and in different positions, and he's left and come back. There's a lot of, this is a massive career for a person, and a lot of it people don't know. Like I said, people only really know Dick Cheney from his vice presidential years, but McKay tries to deconstruct and put all of this into a basket, kind of the way he did with The Big Short. But The Big Short, it all was relevant to this financial crisis. This is kind of a sprawling landscape of a political figure. So with that said, it gets complicated. There's a lot to work on. This is what he should have really done was go after him as vice president. But they spend so much time in the rest of his career, the ups and downs and this job and that job and how he got started, that it just gets very crowded. I mean, it's a well-made movie, but it's very, very crowded. It's also very critical of him. I mean, let's face it, you know, nothing says Christmas like a scathing look at a former vice president. And even at the end of the movie, there's a little stinger at the end of the movie where he tries to address he sort of preemptively tries to address the whole, oh, this is just liberal garbage argument, but he's terrible at trying to address it. I think there is a way to address it, but it falls into almost a Facebook argument at the end, and he basically excuses anybody who wants to just throw this out as liberal propaganda. He basically gives him that card at the end, and he really should have either not answered that question at all and just let it be what it is, or he should have taken a better attempt at addressing that. And that's the big thing that's going to be the stickler with this movie is where you feel your politics lie. Because if you're a fan of Dick Cheney, you're going to be like, well, they cherry-picked some of the worst moments and blew those up and then sort of ignored anything good that came of it. And if you hate Dick Cheney and you didn't like what he did, and you're going to be like, yeah, screw that guy. You know, so I don't think this accomplishes anything. I mean, The Big Short certainly accomplished stuff. This becomes overly complex, and it's really more for political wonks than anyone else, and it's going to preach to the choir or be rejected by the choir, one or the other. But still, it's an okay movie. It's worth checking out just for the buzz. So I'm going to say that Vice kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Destroyer. This is one that's opening. It's trickling out, so it may not be in your hometown, but it will be eventually. Nicole Kidman stars as a Los Angeles detective who got too involved in an undercover sting with drugs and must dig up other gang members years later to set things right.
Who is it?
No ID, no idea.
I know your whole story.
Placing our agent undercover, she'll look right enough next to our guy.
If we do this, we accept the consequences.
Yes.
You love me.
You know I do.
You chose to play cops and robbers. And you lost.
First of all, I know Nicole Kidman is getting all these accolades for this performance. It's the greatest performance of her life. It's just that you're not prepared for anything, blah, 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 blah. This movie's awful. I don't care how good of a performance. She does a good performance. She becomes this strung-out, gritty character. And that's, I guess, commendable as an actor. I mean, this time of year, some character that's dealing with addiction and is strung out and looks terrible, that's nothing new. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, we've got Beautiful Boy and Ben Is Back are both these drug addict movies that you can deal with addiction and the struggles and the problems that it causes for families. I don't think that ground needs to be covered in this movie. Yes, it's a bit of a transformative performance. And yes, it's not Nicole Kidman looking beautiful. And no, she's not wearing a prosthetic nose like she did in The Hours. But it's still this sort of pretentious mess. It's nihilistic, and the characters, I hated all the characters, even the good guys. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. It jumps around, and it's a real sort of manic movie, and it's very nihilistic and awful, and all the characters just are awful to each other and to themselves. And even times when you should be feeling sympathy for someone, you can't even muster enough to feel sympathy. I just hated everyone in this movie. And then, of course, then I looked at it. Oh, yeah, it's directed by Karen Kusama. And that's the person who gave us movies like Jennifer's Body and Aeon Flux. Two of the worst movies of the last 15 years. Those movies are just downright awful and at times incoherent. Why do we keep giving this woman money to make movies? Because they are garbage. And Destroyer is one of those pieces of garbage. It thinks it's smarter than it is. It thinks it's more clever than it is. And it's not. It's the same old crap that we see on bad TV shows with dirty detectives that are struggling with problems on their own. It's awful. I've seen this a dozen times. And I that's why it's just awful. I can't stand this movie. This is such a chore to watch. I watched it. I took the hit for everybody else. You no longer have to go see this movie because I suffered through it for you. Destroyer totally sucks.
It sucks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Stan and Ollie, the box office, and the home cinema roundup featuring Starman.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's finish up the movie reviews with Stan and Ollie. Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly star as the classic comedy duo Laurel and Hardy as they embark on a British tour in the 50s to try to restart their careers.
Pretty empty last night.
I guess people just don't want to see Laurel and Hardy anymore.
Has he been pushing you a little too hard, babe?
You know, Stan.
You could have said goodbye, Oliver, a long time ago.
We had a good thing going when you had this big chip on your shoulder because I did a picture with someone else. I couldn't sleep for days when they told me what you did. We got lucky because you met me. Lucky to spend my life with a man who hides behind his typewriter.
One of the things I was worried about with this movie when I first was going to watch it, and it's funny because I mentioned that I bring my father over and I make him watch these award films. So we'll watch like some more fun stuff. Like the Planet of the Apes movies in the new year. But I have to get through all these award movies. I'm like, sorry, Dad, you got to watch these. But I made him watch Stan and Ollie because I thought he might enjoy it because my dad was the one who introduced me to Laurel and Hardy. And I remember as a kid going up and visiting my grandparents in Cleveland, and there was this TV show Superhost who was this guy. He was probably just a manager somewhere at the TV station. And he would dress up as a superhero, like it just the cheesiest outfit. And they had Big Chuck and Little John also at night and stuff like that. So I remember watching that stuff as a kid. And they'd always show like Three Stooges and Laurel and Hardy shorts. And I loved Laurel and Hardy as a kid. I grew up completely adoring them. I like the Three Stooges too. Don't get me wrong. I love the Three Stooges. But there was something special about Laurel and Hardy. And the thing that I've always loved about those is even though they always like grumbled at each other, and of course that was kind of Oliver Hardy's thing, was to grumble and look annoyed, you could tell there was a real love there. And that's different than something like Abbott and Costello, where Bud Abbott and Lou Costello really did not like each other. Laurel and Hardy, they liked each other. You could tell in their pieces that they got along, even though there was consternation there, and I'm sure, and you know, during their career there's going to be problems. But there was a real appreciation and love between the two of them. And I'm always nervous about movies like this because I don't want them to focus too much on the negative because yeah, everybody's a person. You know, even if you're a great guy, even if you're a wonderful person and just a fantastic human being, you're going to have your bad days and you're going to have your times when you're doing things that's inappropriate. Everybody has their sins and everybody fights. And you put somebody together and you tie their careers together as much as Laurel and Hardy did. And you can't break out of that. Yeah, you know, you're gonna fight if you're too close. So I was afraid, and my father was afraid when he saw this that's what they were gonna do. That it was just gonna be them bickering and fighting all the time. And it's not. And in a charming way, it's not. I think it's important to say that because Laurel and Hardy did have their ups and downs, and they show them in this movie. They show where they fought and where they disagreed and where each one felt that they were contributing but were essential. But there was respect. There was mutual respect and an adoration for each other and a love of the material that they worked on. And that's, I think, the best part of this movie. Also, both Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly do fantastic jobs in these roles. Now, John C. Reilly's getting more attention. He got a Golden Globe nomination for this. Oddly enough, this is one of two movies this week that's opened with an ampersand in the middle. And this is like the Golden Raspberry Award is going to go to him for Holmes and Watson, and possibly an Oscar nomination is going to go to him for Stan and Ollie. But let's not forget Steve Coogan in this. He embraces and becomes Stan Laurel. And he is brilliant in that role. And he's very generous in that role, very much like Stan Laurel was himself in his comedy presentation. He allowed a lot of the pratfalls and the bigger stuff to be done by Oliver Hardy. And in a lot of ways, Steve Coogan's doing the same thing and getting less recognition. And that's a little bit sad, but it's a wonderful little movie. If you're a fan of the characters and if you're a fan of the actors, absolutely worth seeing. It shows the ups and downs, but it also shows that there's a certain degree of heart there. And that's what I would be looking for in a Laurel and Hardy biopic. So I'm going to have to say Stan and Ollie totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about the box office. Last week, Aquaman of course, won. Everyone knew that Aquaman was going to win. What's odd is it's the lowest grossing first weekend of any of the new DC cinematic universes. It only made $67.5 million. But I think it's going to have legs that are going to carry it on. And I'm not going to say it's going to be something like Wonder Woman. It could. But it's certainly going to be something like Batman versus Superman, because that one dropped off so quickly. But it's doing extremely well. It's also doing incredibly well overseas. By the time Christmas was over, it was like $500 million worldwide. That's really good. I mean, when you consider the fact that Batman versus Superman was like, what, $166 million? And it made basically half of its entire take domestically in that first weekend. Aquaman's going to have bigger legs. It's going to do better. It's got a nice run because there's not anything big in terms of similar movies that are going to cannibalize its audience. Now, other movies, Mary Poppins Return did pretty well. Bumblebee did okay. It's not a huge hit, and that's a shame because the Transformers movies were really circling the drain, and Bumblebee was kind of a sweet little film, and it would have been nice to see that do a little bit better. Second act did okay. I mean, what, like $6.5 million? And then Welcome to Marwen completely tanked. That movie has a reported budget of only $40 million, and it didn't even make $3 million over its pre-Christmas weekend. That is awful. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. The spotlight this week is on John Carpenter's Starman. We have a new Blu-ray from Shout Factory. John Carpenter directs Jeff Bridges in his Academy Award-nominated performance of an alien who comes to Earth at the invitation of the Voyager probe.
In 1977, Voyager 2 was launched into space to the outermost regions of the universe. It carried an invitation in all languages for alien life forms to visit our planet. Someone, somewhere, listened and accepted our invitation.
How much English do you understand?
I understand readings in 54 planet Earth languages.
What the hell ever happened to good manners? We invited him here!
What's interesting about this movie, and I remember when it came out, John Carpenter at the time really was known, and he still is, but he was known as a horror movie director. And he had done stuff that wasn't horror movies, like Assault on Precinct 13 was not a horror movie. It was done in the 70s. It was more of an action crime movie. And he did science fiction stuff. I mean, Escape from New York is certainly a sci-fi movie, not at all a horror movie. It's sci-fi in action. And also Dark Star. It had horror elements, but it's arguably a science fiction movie. But the things he was most known for, the things that were highest on people's radar at the time, you, of course, had Halloween, which was a huge hit back in 1978. Then you had The Fog in, I think, 1980. And then you had The Thing, which is also science fiction, but definitely horror in terms of the blood and guts. So he was well known as a horror director, and then he came out and did this science fiction piece that didn't have any horror in it at all. And I even remember my mom, when we went to go see this back in, 1984, she was not wanting to see it because she's like, oh, I don't want to see grossness. And there's one scene where he's, because the alien clones, you see some gooiness going on there. But otherwise, it's a very straightforward science fiction piece. It's a road film. These weird little road films that were real big in the 70s and 80s of people going from point A to point B. And on the run from the law, everything from Smoking the Bandit to Starman, you know, had the similar ideas and sort of tropes throughout. But Starman is a brilliant movie, and a lot of it's grounded in Jeff Bridges' performance. He is fantastic in it, well-deserving of the Academy Award nomination he got for this. This was the first one that really people were really looking at him closely as an actor. I mean, I know he'd had some hits and some respectable stuff before this, but this was one where people were like, oh my God, Jeff Bridges, wow, he really did something with what was normally would be like a B-movie, some sort of cheesy sci-fi film. It also has a very good message. It's a little bit demonstrative at times and has some straw men in there. But overall, Starman's a fantastic movie. And, of course, it's on a Blu-ray from Shout Factory. And Shout Factory always puts it, especially for these collector's editions, they have tons of special features. Not, I don't even have time to go into the special features that they have on this one. But for one of the better science fiction movies of the 80s, in terms of sort of like those run-of-the-mill, non-grand space opera movies like Star Trek and Star Wars, but a more grounded sci-fi movie, a speculative fiction piece, if you will. So I have to say, Starman, the collector's edition Blu-ray, totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
That's it for this week. I need to go. That's it for this year. I need to go. Next year, I'll be coming back with a new episode, and I'll review movies like Eli and Escape Room, and I'll give you my list of my worst movies of 2018. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Wisconsin police are giving more details as to the discovery of 13-year-old Jamie Kloss, who went missing in October after her parents were found killed. Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald talks about Jamie Kloss.
She is good. She's been cleared from the hospital. There is a reunification process in place going on right now.
And as far as the suspect, Jake Patterson, Fitzgerald says,
Jake Patterson had zero criminal history locally and zero criminal history in the state of Wisconsin.
President Trump will be hosting a roundtable discussion on border security today at the White House. This as the partial government shutdown continues, to which Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says enough of the showboating.
The last thing we need to do right now is to trade pointless, absolutely pointless, showboats back and forth across the aisle.
The two sides still seem very far apart regarding a resolution to the shutdown. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
Reaction to the border problem from former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer. She says federal lawmakers should be locked in a room until a budget deal is done. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky has the details.
I think that Congress and the president, they need to stay at home and they need to go to the table and solve this problem.
Former Arizona Governor Republican Jan Brewer, who knows all too well about crimes committed by illegal aliens over the years in her state, a guest on Fox News. She tells Neil Cavuto it's time to get lawmakers in the same room and lock the door until a deal is done.
Gotta lock the doors and not let anybody out. The public wants our borders secured. We're tired of all the nonsense, and they need to do their job.
A winter storm is spreading snow, sleet, and rain across a 1,500-mile path from Denver to New York City. Over 20 million people will be affected by the storm, which could bring up to 8 inches of snow to Washington, D.C., Indianapolis, and Kansas City. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Recapping one of our top stories, Jamie Clough